thanks and praise and honor and glory, and we celebrate, God, you and all that you have done for all of us. We thank you, God, and may our praises, Lord, be pleasing in thy sight. Bless and touch and enrich and deliver and strengthen and save and do all that you have gathered us here to do this morning. Forgive me and everyone under the sound of my voice of all of our sins and anything that might hinder us from hearing what thus saith the Lord this morning. Remove it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some more praise. Amen. 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 Please secure your Bibles as we read from the book of Galatians once again. I'll be reading from the NIV versions, Galatians 4, verses 21 through Galatians 5, 1. Galatians 4, 21 through chapter 5, verse 1. Please stand in reverence to the word of God. It will also be on the screen behind me. Galatians 4, 21 through Galatians 5, 1. And from the NIV version, it reads as follows. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. The woman represents two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, somebody say like Isaac.
Like Isaac.
Are children of the promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now, but what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. I want to continue our discussion this morning from the book of Galatians, set free to live free. Set free to live free. We started this journey in Galatians a few weeks ago, and just by way of review, we talked about Paul writing this letter to the Galatians essentially for two reasons. One, to defend his apostolic calling. Chapter 1 says that Paul says right off the rip that I wasn't called by man, but I was called by God and by Jesus Christ. And so Paul begins to defend his apostolic calling, but the majority of the letter is really against the Judaizers, those Jews who are now Christians, who are preaching what Paul says in Galatians 1 is a different gospel. In Galatians 1:6, he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. What was that different gospel? The Judaizers was really saying that you need to become a Jew and accept Christ. You need to follow the law and accept Christ. You need to follow the Mosaic law and accept Christ. Paul was saying, anytime we begin to add anything to the gospel, that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and it's all by grace, it's a different gospel. No, you don't have to become an American and become a Christian. No, you don't have to be black or white to become a Christian. No, you don't have to be Baptist or Pentecostal or Catholic or Episcopal to become a Christian. What you need, somebody say, what you need, is faith in Jesus. And anytime any of us add anything to the gospel, it's a different gospel. And so Paul was teaching them that the gospel that they were trying to burden the Galatians with was not the gospel that he had came and preached to them. And then he began to go on and said that Peter knew better. In chapter 2, he used to fellowship with the Galatians and Gentiles. He used to eat with them. And then when he got around his Jewish brothers and sisters, he separated himself. And Paul called him out in Galatians 2:11. He said, Peter, I opposed Peter to his faith. For he was hypocrisy because he was afraid of the Jews. Some of us are afraid to pray in public. Some of us are afraid to tell folk we go to church and give our tithes. We're afraid of what the world might say to us, but we have to stay true to who we are. Paul says in chapter 3, you foolish Galatians, you crazy Galatians, because you have forgot to stay centered on the crucified Christ. You have forgotten, Galatians 3, to remember that you were not circumcised before you received the Spirit of Christ. You were not following the Mosaic law before you received the Spirit of Christ. You heard the gospel, you believed in faith, and the Spirit of God fell on you. Remember your testimony. Remember your experience. Galatians 3, 1-5 teaches us. And then Paul goes on to say, as we talked about last week in the last part of Galatians, that we all belong to God, that we are children of God. Galatians 3:23 teaches us, and that we've been crucified by Christ. And being children of God, Galatians 27 says we've been clothed with Christ. That means we're not only children of God, we've been clothed with Christ, meaning that we ought to have humility and love and forgiveness. Said last week that some of us got on knockoff clothes. We're not clothed in Christ. We in knockoff stuff. We're angry. We're mad. We got attitudes. That's not the fragrance of Christ that lingers and attracts. That's repelling folk from the church. But I said, when you belong to Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, slave nor free. Paul says that we're all one in Christ. Yeah. I was having a conversation, and I know Deacon Don and Robin may have to exit, so just good to have Deacon Don back in the house. Don't want y'all to forget that she's here with Robin. But I was having a conversation with one of my brothers and sisters, and we were talking about maybe the issues that we're dealing with is not an issue of race necessarily, but we're more tribal. We're tribalism is an issue. And they raised the point of the Shiites and who are the other folks in Iraq? Shiites and the Sunnis, thank you so much. The Shiites and the Sunnis, it's not a race issue, it's a tribal issue. They talked about Rwanda, where a genocide was going on with the same folk in Rwanda. And I say, I get that. But when you are in the body of Christ, there's only one tribe. I want to say that again. I understand the world, the Shiites and the Sunnis. I understand what was going on with Rwanda. I understand that there's black and white and Greek and non-Greek, the Jews and the Gentiles. But Paul says, in Christ, there's neither male nor female, Jew or Gentile. He's saying, and that tribe is the body of Christ. And so we affirmed each other last week and said, you belong here. Somebody say it again. You belong here. Because you're in the body of Christ. So no matter how crazy the world is, no matter how divisive the world is, the church ought to be different. Tell somebody, we're different. But we're still, we need to get this thing about being free to live free. And so Paul in chapter 4, where we're going today, he uses the analogy of the law serving as our guardians, our stewards. The law served in Romans time. There was a guardian who took children to school that they may learn. The guardian oversaw them so they might get their lesson. They took them to school, dropped them off, make sure they were taught, and brought them home. The law served as a guardian to keep us until Christ came. We have all these things. I said a long time ago, you know, the law could show us the dirt on our face, but it did not clean us up. We have all of these gadgets today to nag us about what we should be doing. How many of y'all got a Fitbit? You know, that tells you how many times you got to walk. You know, tell you how much, you know, Fitbits are to nag you and say, you're not getting your exercise in. But guess what? Fitbit is not going to drive you to the gym and make you go to the gym. They're gadgets to tell me that I'm not drinking 8 glasses of water today. It nags me, but I'm still not drinking 8 glasses of water. There are gadgets on our phone that tells me I'm never getting 8 hours of sleep. Now, I feel bad about that, but I'm still not getting 8 hours of sleep. The law says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet. The law was a nagger. The law told us everything we should be doing, but God knew no matter how much the law nagged us and informed us of what we should be doing to reach God's high standard, it didn't give us the power to do it. And so what Paul is teaching us in Galatians is that the law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Somebody say, Jesus did it. And so Paul is perplexed by why would the Galatians want to go back to the law? And why are the Jews preaching going back to the law when all it did was nag them and did not give them the power to reach God's high standard? Somebody say, thank God for grace. And so the day Paul says that you've been delivered from the law, you've been delivered from being nagged, you've been delivered from just being told how you should live, and you've been given the Spirit of Christ that is power to overcome what we can't do in the flesh. Now maybe some of y'all are not excited about that, but I'm just being honest that without the Holy Ghost operating in my life, I can't live the Christian life. I can use a lot of examples, but the one I like to use that I know resonates with a lot of folks, I used to curse like a sailor. And I think the last time I said that, more of y'all was shocked, but I was like, some of y'all still curse like a sailor. But the more I tried, I could not. But thanks be to God, Christ's Spirit took that from me. And it wasn't me trying, it was me surrendering it and relying on God. So the difference between living under the law is that you're trying to work it out in the flesh. The grace says rely on God and he will work it out for you. Today, Paul teaches that lesson in saying that we've been set free to live free, And he uses a familiar story of Ishmael and Isaac. And I'm going to read it again. In Galatians 4, he talks about there were two sons. And you got to go back to Genesis to get the full flavor of this. But if you recall that the promise that Abraham's seed, we would be blessed, all nations would be blessed under Abraham's seed, was given to Abraham when he was less than 100, but the birth of Isaac happened when he was 100 years old. And so Sarah was 90 when she gave birth to Isaac. But to understand the story, while they were waiting on God's promise, Sarah gets anxious. And she gives to Abraham, because he was supposed to have a son, the firstborn was supposed to carry out the promise, she gives to Abraham Hagar. And Hagar is a slave. And she gives birth to, come on y'all, if y'all follow me, Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the promised son. So 13 years later, Isaac is born. And this is what I want y'all to get, because we are children of faith, not in Ishmael, which is the work of the flesh. Somebody say Ishmael is of the flesh. We are children of faith through Isaac, which is a work of the Spirit. So this is what Paul is teaching them, a familiar story from Abraham. He says in verse 28 of chapter 4, "Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac," somebody say like Isaac, "are children of the promise." The first thing we need to understand is that we're not like Ishmael, which was of the flesh, and all by the work of the flesh. This is what y'all got to understand, is that Ishmael was a fleshly product. And if we try to reach God through the flesh, it's never going to please God, because the flesh is always impure, imperfect. The reason why he says that we are like Isaac, because we are of the promise. We were God's plan. You need to understand, to be free, to live free, you need to embrace the fact, no matter what color you are, no matter what denomination you are, no matter what economic class you came from, you are part of God's plan. We're like Isaac. You're not an accident. Maybe you don't know who your father is. Maybe you're living in the bad side of town. It does not matter, because God says you're part of his plan. In Jeremiah 1:5, Janet, pull that up for me. Jeremiah 1:5 tells us, when I get my glasses on, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." He was talking to Jeremiah. But don't you know God knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb? Yes. God is teaching us through the story of Abraham and Sarah that God, the Galatians, the Gentiles, were a part of the promise, the part of the covenant. Like Isaac, we're part of God's plan. He decided that we were going to come not as a Jew, but as a Gentile, the same way the Jews and the Abraham came, by believing God. If you are saved because you've accepted Jesus Christ, you need to know you're not an accident. Tell somebody else you're not an accident. Jeremiah 29:11 echoes that same thing. Jeremiah 29:11, which we know well, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God is saying to us this morning, if you're going to, you've been set free to live free, but to live free, you've got to know that you're part of God's plan, like Isaac and not Ishmael. You're not part of the world's plan. Somebody say, you've been set free. Galatians 4:28 says, we're like Isaac, we're children of the promise. We're part of God's plan. I know somebody needs to hear that today. Maybe somebody makes you feel like you're an accident. Makes you feel less than, like you're an add-on. I'm here to tell you, you're no add-on. You're God's plan. He intended to make you just like you are. Not only if you're going to live free this morning, that you must embrace the fact that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're part of God's plan like Isaac and not Ishmael. You were born by the miraculous power of God and not by the flesh. Verse 29 said, at the time the son born according to the flesh, that's Ishmael, was persecuting the son born to the power of the spirit, Ishmael, Hagar was torturing Sarah for 13 years because she still was barren. God is reminding us that Ishmael was born not according to God's plan, not even in his power, because it was from the flesh, Hagar. Isaac, on the other hand, was born when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. He was born miraculously. Get this. You were born of the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ, not in the flesh, not by following. It was not. You were born miraculously by the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and it was nothing that you did. It was all about what God did through his son Jesus, who came down from heaven and lived and died and was crucified, and thanks be to God, rose again. Your salvation, and we all need to be humble this morning, your salvation is not by your own power. Isaac, I was getting ready to go somewhere I know I shouldn't go. Not often I filter myself, but I was going to talk about Abraham's age and some stuff that folk take today that wouldn't help him have a child. My wife said, no. So okay, y'all know what I'm saying. At 100 years old, Abraham, the choir's helping me out in the back. Abraham did not have Isaac in the flesh. It was by the miraculous power of God that Abraham had, and Sarah, 90 and 100 years old, had the child of the promise. You know what that's called? Grace. Like Isaac, you are a child of God by grace. There is nothing, somebody say nothing, that you could do, ever do, to earn enough merit to earn salvation. We don't really get Galatians, and I don't remember anybody spending time on it like I am, but you need to understand, because we got too many arrogant Christians. Too many Christians who believe that because serve the poor, preach in the pulpit, give some tithes, serve the church, serve the poor, that somehow you are better than anybody. We need to understand that each and every one of us, I don't care if they're carrying you in a cage like the Pope. Understand there's a church in New Haven where the pastor, see how y'all treat me, a pastor don't put his feet on the ground, they carry him on their shoulder all the way up to the pulpit. I'm getting slighted over here. But I don't deserve it, and nor do they. Because when I make it in, somebody say, when I make it in. I am making it in on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't care if I preach in the pulpit and die right here. That won't be the reason I make it in. Like Isaac, God had a plan for us. Like Isaac, the Bible says we were born, who was born by the power of the Spirit, were saved by the power of God. That's grace. And like Isaac, finally, that we are people born free. In other words, Paul's been saying, the whole time, we're not born under the law. We're born free in Jesus Christ. Ishmael was not born free. Isaac was born free. Now, I was going to try to put a couple of messages together, but we're going to take time on chapter 5. You're not born free just to do anything. You're born free to live for God. That free piece, that last piece that I'm talking about, verse 30. Come on, Moriah. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share an inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, the free woman, we are free in Jesus. You know what makes us free? Is truth. Yes. Truth will sanctify you. When you read the word and pray and accept what God's doing, it will cleanse you of cursing. It will cleanse you. You put your own stuff there. Truth will sanctify you. That means when we accept Jesus Christ, we still got some old stuff in us from Egypt. But if you keep accepting the truth of the word, it will cleanse you. I mean, you know, I hate to say it, but I spent an hour line dancing, and I know I wasn't doing too good of a job. Scotty said, Pastor King, you need to loosen up. You got your hands up like this. I don't know what's happened. I used to be a good dancer. But maybe, Sister Andrea, I wasn't a good dancer, but maybe I was too drunk to remember. I'm just telling the truth. I don't know. You know, in my mind, I was a good dancer. I'm not suggesting I'm going to start doing that again, the dance with. Truth will sanctify you. Yes. Truth will set you free. Whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Yes. And not only that, truth will save you. Yes. So God is teaching us that we are people who are free. Yes. Remember as we begin to close that you're free because you are a child of the promise. You're part of God's plan. Remember that you're free because you are like Isaac. You are born by the power of God, which is grace. And you're free like Isaac because you were born a free people. That means you were born into Christ. You were born by his grace, and you were baptized into him, and no longer to go back to the weak law. It was a gadget to remind you of what you should be doing, but you were not able to do. My brothers and sisters, you have been born free to live free. I want to remind somebody who is not experiencing the joy of the Lord this morning, whether you are Baptist, whether you are Pentecostal, who's our joy on ourselves like the Judaizers try to do, and we lose our joy. I'm not saying live recklessly, but understand God has set you free. Somebody say, I'm free. Come on, let's give God some praise. If you're